you know, every time I try to do good, Chris, I try to do good here. And one of these days, I'm going to get some of these institutions in town to help me do good. Now, you know, the other day I mentioned on the program, because they had these Emmy Award competitions for the television stations in the Midwest region. Everything in the Midwest other than Chicago. Chicago's like their own thing. And I mentioned that Deanna Dewberry had won. I actually put it out on Twitter that she had won, I think, three Emmy Awards at Channel 8. Tina Cosby won an Emmy Award. Did the other TV stations send any information to me so that I would know that other journalists of color got one? I don't even have an Emmy. Got an Emmy. Sandra Chapman, though, at the Emmy Awards competition was this year. They finally had the competition in Indianapolis so that the folks from Indiana didn't have to travel to some boring town in Ohio. One, how many did you get, girlfriend?
I won two Emmys.
Emmys. So wait. Sister Deanna gets three. Sister Sandra got two. Sisters got six. My Lord.
We represented it. We did well.
What'd you get the Emmys for?
One of the Emmys was for research for a series I did called Risky Calls, where an ambulance company was bypassing the closest response in order to make sure their company got the money. And someone died, unfortunately, as a result of that, but a research. And the other one was for Best Investigative Report in the region, and that was a report that I did on a Hamilton County engineer who took the county's car some 800 miles away to a fishing hole on vacation.
Wait. Somebody in Hamilton County took the government-owned car on an 800-mile fishing investigation.
Well, when an investigation, it was a pleasure trip. And there was a very astute, happened to be another Hoosier in that same Tennessee town that said, wait a minute, took a picture and sent it to me. And so we connected the dots. Chased and found him.
Employee got in trouble, lost a job, and Sandra, and in Channel 13, gets on Channel 13, and there's one of those WTHR exclusive that you didn't read in the Indianapolis Star, and she gets an Emmy. Where do you keep the Emmys? Do they go home? You got to keep them in the office.
Sometimes they stay in the office where they want to, you know, we recycle. Yeah. I mean, basically the new ones come in and the old ones get to go to their owners. And then there's some that I keep at home. So, yes.
Okay. So if I walked across the street to the lobby, I'll see your Emmys in the big case in the lobby.
They have them all over the station.
First, congratulations. But you're here not just because you're now an Emmy award-winning journalist, researcher, but you're now an author. Why'd you decide to write a book?
Amos, this was a work of just a drive that I had after doing a couple of stories on the Carol Jenkins case down in Martinsville, referring back to the murder that happened in 1968. After doing the investigative reports, I was at Wish at the time, and after doing these series of reports, a woman called me and said, if the girl was wearing a yellow scarf, my father could be the killer. So those were chilling words then. They are still chilling words to me now. And after that, we started trying to find out who this suspect was. And this became a labor of love. And ever since then, I've been trying to uncover what actually happened to Carol and trying to find out, you know, where this investigation stood. And so this is the culmination, a book called The Girl in the Yellow Scarf.
This is a story that it seems like every African-American who moves to town is told, you don't want to drive or get caught after sundown in Morgan County because this black girl was murdered and nobody ever found her. It became, for many of us who moved here, is this an urban legend? Is this something that did or did not exist? And you kind of, you know, tracked it down and it's in the book.
That's right. When I moved here, I heard the very same thing, and it came from very good sources. So they just told me, you be careful. Don't go down there. Don't be there after dark. And what happened was in 2000, this case, again, Carol's father had been searching relentlessly, trying to find out what happened to his daughter for 30 years mm-hmm. and could not get any concrete answers as to what really happened to her. And so I went down and visited with him one day, and I said, well, his name is Paul Davis. I said, Mr. Davis, has anybody ever done an investigative story on this? He said, no. I said, mm-hmm. well, can I do it? He said, yes. Mm-hmm. I welcome anybody who's willing to dig into this and try to help me find out what happened to my daughter. And so that's how it started.
Where does the case stand now?
Well, there was never any justice in this case, Amos. There was an arrest. As I said, after we got that phone call about the yellow scarf was information no one had ever heard about in 30 years. So that started a frenzy because we were all on the case of the number one suspect who had been identified some years ago. And myself, the FBI, as well as the Indiana State cold case team that were working on it, we're all focused on that until this information about the yellow scarf came about. This woman's father, Kenneth Richmond, was arrested 6 months after our initial reports. However, he died in jail, actually in a jail facility hospital. He was 70 years old at the time. But this was the first ever arrest in this case after 33 years.
So this case never had a day in court to where evidence could be presented beyond a reasonable doubt that maybe this gentleman did it.
That's
so
right.
So we really don't know whether God's justice intervened before man's justice did.
Right. And I mean, legally, yes, that mm-hmm. is what happened. Mm-hmm. However, if you, and that's what the book details, no one had ever known about the yellow scarf. But once I got that information and contacted the family, they said, yes, Carol did have on a yellow scarf that night. Mm-hmm. That was information no one knew. Not even some of the new investigators knew it until they got that information and went back. Also, Shirley McQueen, who is the daughter, was able to provide other information that corroborated her story as a 7-year-old in the backseat of the car as she watched her father and another man do this. What is still outstanding, though, is the name of the second accomplice. Okay. But Mr. Richmond reportedly confessed to this crime before he died. We have the Indiana State Police on camera saying that, in fact, did happen. He confessed to a guard that he was involved in this case. I have seen the FBI files. They also consider him the murderer in this case.
So people that are listening now who have heard the story, well, a black girl was murdered, obviously they never found anybody, that's a typical thing. We can now say, and if people, you know, get the book, The Girl in the Yellow Scarf, they can now read that maybe while justice may not have been done in a courtroom, God's justice may have been done in this case.
That's right. And that's what this daughter is saying, and her sister-in-law, who also heard the story 15 years before we learned about this particular child witness, who of course is grown now, but she heard about this case, and I applaud her efforts too, because after she saw our series of reports, she wrote an anonymous letter to the state police saying, this woman was 7 years old at the time. She told me about it. I didn't know exactly what she was talking about until I saw that report by Sandra Chapman, the investigation. Then she knew, and she told Shirley, you have to tell what happened. And what was lovely is the night of the book launch here on May 18th out at Barnes & Noble, Mr. Davis, for the first time, got a chance to meet the sister-in-law who came, and she was the one urging for justice, urging her sister-in-law to tell about her father's connection.
This story, along with the many stories that you do and your colleagues at Channel 13, as well as your compatriots, competitors at Channel 8 and Channel 6, and now increasingly, you know, Channel 59, you know, in our industry, you know, everybody hears about the plight of newspapers. The newspapers are in very dire straits. That you know, they're losing readership. You know, if you pick up this morning's newspaper. I got notes at home that are heavier than this morning's newspapers. And even though, you know, television news gets the knock because of the time spent on sports and the time spent on weather and some of the fluffy stories that all of us in the media do. But a lot in many local communities, in many big cities now, the hard-hitting stories, the investigative pieces are increasingly being done by local television stations.
Television stations have a very important role, and also they are a very powerful medium. Mm-hmm. And that's evident in this case. Someone watching an investigative story and sitting there with a little piece of information, not knowing if that little bit of information is going to blow open a case. And in fact, it did in this situation. So I think television stations across the country are realizing that there is a community desire to have these types of investigations done. It allows them to be able to know what's going on in their government, to know what's going on in their communities that needs to be fixed. And again, there's nothing like pictures to go with, you know, a story, and you're watching it and you're seeing it, and it's causing some sort of emotion to arise up in you. And that's saying, then we want those investigative reporters to go deeper, to ask those questions that we at home would want to have answers. So it's a very important role right now.
What has been the response of people, not just to this particular story and to the book, who live in Morgan County? Because there are a lot of great people in Morgan County, and they've lived under this cloud for several decades.
That is a great question. And Amos, I am very thrilled to say the response has been very, very good. Right now the book is on sale on Amazon.com. And that's been the last 3 weeks, but we have had numerous orders from that particular area of the country. Also, I'm happy to report that Moreau County in Bloomington and other counties south of Indianapolis have actually ordered the book for their libraries. They want something in writing. This is the first time anything has been done on this particular case, and here it is. People can actually read about it. They can know what happened inside the investigation, beyond the headlines, this witness, what the prosecutor was doing, what police were doing. And so people are very, very curious. We've had a wonderful response from even, you know, around the country, and but particularly regional, the response has been fantastic.
In terms of what it is you do, because there may be people listening that say, you know, I got a story. And I know you get it all the time out of the community. I got a story. When you get a tip, what is the most important ingredient, you know, in the tip? I mean, obviously it has to have facts connected to it. But what's the key? What do you, in other words, if somebody listening says, you know, I think I got a great story for Sandra, I got something about an injustice, this and that, what do they need to bring to the table to you? Because it's not just an email and a phone call. It's got to be something behind it.
That's right. Amos, we have to be able to confirm the information. And in fact, that's part of this book. You will hear and read about what it took, why I couldn't just get on the air with this information and go with it. Mm-hmm. We have to be able to confirm what people are telling us. And sometimes that's not an easy thing to do. But we need documents. We need, unique information that perhaps no one else would know except somebody that is close to an investigation, that sort of thing. So, but I always welcome people to call in to tell me what it is that you have. I'll be honest. I'll say, you know, well, we're going to need more. We're going to need more documentation or something. Or sometimes it's enough to say, okay, that's enough. I can go confirm that through some other record or through another person or something of that sort. But the important thing to remember, especially if you have information about a crime or something like that, you might think it's something small and insignificant. And in fact, it could be the key thing that police are missing, that they need, that will place some other individual or instance in the scenario that will help them to solve the case.
In this case, do we know what the motive was? Was it just hatred? Was it the normal motive that might occur in a case of a woman disappearing? Or we really don't know what the motive was.
According to the daughter, the motive was strictly hatred. Mm-hmm. And you'll read more about Kenneth Richmond and the type of man that he was. And okay. when you read about him, you'll understand a little bit more. It's a little more complicated for him because I believe there had to be a number of issues going on with him, including some mental things going on. But hatred definitely was a part of this killing. In fact, when prosecutors arrested him, when police arrested him, they said this was a racially motivated murder.
So now the urban legend of the black woman, her occupation, because this is the other thing, one of the she was selling encyclopedias door to door. Why was she where she was?
That appeared to be coincidence. She wasn't supposed to be there. Okay. They were supposed to be going further down south towards the Evansville area. Okay. It got a little late. They got a late start, and whoever the regional officer was, or regional encyclopedia manager was.
So she was selling books.
Yes, she was selling encyclopedias.
Encyclopedias.
And so she ended up in this particular place, and when you understand how her family describes her, this was a 21-year-old who was ready to take the world, who thought, you know, we've come through, we've got a Civil Rights Act now. I shouldn't have to live under the things my parents lived under. And as her father said, she was a little naive as well.
Boy, oh boy, oh boy. This is somewhat of a closure of Indiana history, a closure of African-American history, a closure of Hoosier history. Hi, Elsie.
Hi, Simon.
Hi.
How are you today and your guest?
Hi.
I know about that case. I remember when that happened. I'm sorry it took so long for them to find out, but I remember that very well. Her father, I think they owned the Scotties down at on the avenue, so I'm glad they came to.
I'm glad
they found out what happened. But I want to tell you something that's going on. That prejudice is not hadn't stopped. My grandson was arrested a few days ago. He had to go to Boone County for a ticket that he had gotten, and they tried their best to find out where to pay this ticket. Nobody could give them any information, which was 5 years ago. So he was arrested a few days ago, and he had to go to Boone County. But 5 years ago, they were trying to find out where to pay this ticket. Nobody could tell them. But anyway, while he was up there, we went to pick him up, and he said that they set up in this up there in Lebanon, we got another nigger coming. I want to know what you think about that.
Who said that to you? And don't repeat the word again, but who used the N-word to you?
I didn't use it to me. I used it to my grandson.
Who used it? Was it
he
a person?
He told us about it.
Was it a person? Wait a minute. Did he get a name of the person? Was it a person in uniform?
Oh, yeah. They were up there. I didn't ask him, you know. Yeah, he knew the names. Yeah.
After he pays the ticket and gets out of any
legal... We paid the ticket. Yeah, we paid for the ticket.
All right, so he's out of legal harm's way, correct?
I don't know.
If he paid the ticket, he ought to be out of legal harm's way. Then that information needs to be shared with the NAACP. That information may need to be shared with the Indiana State Police.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe with the FBI.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
All right, I appreciate it. Thank you. Sandra. See what happens when we have an investigative reporter on? All kind of stuff comes out. The book is called The Girl in the Yellow Scarf, published by
Prince Media Group.
Okay, and it is available at Amazon.com. So you just type up Amazon.com on your computer.
And here's some good news. On Friday, the books will be available at Barnes & Noble Bookstore. That's at 3748 East 82nd Street at Clearwater Crossing, and at Black Dog Books. That's at 115 South Main Street in Zionsville in the Village. So there's a couple places you can actually
walk in. Wait, they don't sell the book at Black Dog Books on Main Street in Zionsville.
It's a very reputable independent independent bookstore. In fact, Gary Brackett has sold many of his books there. So I think people that visit the Zionsville Village know all about it.
All right, or Barnes and Noble in Castleton on 82nd Street, or 86th Street.
82nd Street. Clearwater
or
Crossing.
Amazon.com. They probably got a whole bunch of books sitting in the warehouse out there on Plainfield or wherever the warehouse is. It all comes back to something about Boone County. Anyway, double Emmy award winning. You know, all you TV stations that are listening. The Indianapolis Star doesn't write anything about the TV and radio stations in this town, and you keep wasting your time sending your press releases to them, and they don't do anything. Send your press releases to me, particularly of how African American journalists are doing. We could have had an Emmy Award winning partner. Any other? So we know African Americans over at Channel 8 got some. We know you got any others.
Yes, and I'm glad you said that. I mean,
oh yeah, Chris Wright got an Emmy too. Yeah, I got to look up Chris Wright.
Chris Wright got more than an Emmy. Chris Wright was inducted into the Silver Circle.
Uh oh.
And that is huge for the NADIS, which is the
Academy of Television Arts and Sciences.
That's right.
He's like in the Silver Circle. So that means, like, you've been around a while.
That means that from here to whenever, anyone that ever looks at the distinguished members of our profession, television reporters, talent, that sort of thing, Chris Wright's name will be there. We're super proud of him, excited for him that he
so be there
is
like with the Mike Ahearns.
Yes, that's right.
The Howard Caldwells, the Swoop McClains.
Oh, it's quite a feat.
That means he's on the road to the Hall of Fame.
That's right.
See, he's on the road to the Hall of Fame.
Yes.
Sandra Chapman, always good to talk to you. Double Emmy Award winner. My goodness gracious. Congratulations to you. The book is called The Girl in the Yellow Scarf, the history of the Carol Jenkins case down in Morgan County. Thanks very much for being with us.